From John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit."
Thank you. I'd like to add my welcome. My name is Chris Webster. I'm a regular here at Aldersgate Talks. We'll be carrying on in John's Gospel, in John chapter 3, that's just been read to us. We'll be doing it slightly different, where we'll be looking at the term, what it means to be born again. So we'll be using a few references or in the Bible as we go along. Now, have you ever had the sense that something was completely beyond you? You're just not capable of doing it. As a teenager, I got completely fired up from watching Wimbledon tennis when Greg Rosetsky or a young Tim Henman went out in the early stages of the tournament. I thought maybe I could be the one to bring back kind of pride to British tennis. I could be the next tennis star. And so, armed with a new Wilson tennis racket, I'd practice against the back wall in the garden. I'd cycle down to the tennis courts and there try out my serving. When I thought I was ready, I went down to the local kind of tennis coaching centre, the club there. I talked the talk, they saw how I served, and I was put in the top group. But as the hour session went on, they quickly saw my talent, or lack of it. And I progressively made my way down to the bottom group with those with their granddad's kind of wooden borrowed rackets. It got to the fifth week and things hadn't improved. And that was the moment that I realised that I wasn't going to bring back the pride to the British tennis team. No. It didn't matter how much Wimbledon I saw, how good my racket was, how much time I spent on the court. I was rubbish at playing tennis. I had no skill or talent, and nothing would change that. It was completely beyond me. Well, we just heard from the Bible a man who met with Jesus and is told something he could never do. Look with me at verse 3. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." To be born again is when someone becomes a Christian. So every Christian is a born-again Christian. It's not an optional extra. I remember when I was dressed up as Zorro, running around Tor Bay in Devon a few years ago, and I was asked by a member of the public, what was I doing? I explained that I was a Christian, and that I was helping on a Christian camp. And we were playing a game called Hunt the Leader. She was, well, thrilled to see what we were doing. And she said it was great what we were doing for the children. And she asked, "What sort of Christian are you? Are you one of those born-again types?" And I said, "Well, every Christian is born again." And as soon as I said that, she turned her back and she didn't want to know me anymore. This made me think about the attitude of certain people towards those who've become Christians. The arrival of a baby is to be celebrated, and it's a wonderful thing when a new life comes into this world. But there's little interest from many when someone is born to be a child of God by the Holy Spirit. And so my prayer is that by the end of this afternoon's talk, we'll see why becoming a Christian should cause us just as much joy as when a baby is being born into this world. And so the first thing I want us to see this afternoon is we all need new life. We all need new life. Verses 1 to 7. If it's helpful, there's a handout with the headings on. In verse 7, hear what Jesus says. He says, you must be born again. It seems a bit drastic, doesn't it? Why must we be born again? For us to please God, to be part of his kingdom? Can't I just turn over a new leaf to say, I'll do better next time. I'll put measures in place to stop me from sinning. Now, I'll read the Bible more. I'll pray more. But this won't work. And we'll see now why. Who comes to Jesus in verse 1? Well, we see it's a Pharisee. And his name is Nicodemus. And see how Nicodemus is described. He's a ruler of the Jews. And in verse 10, Jesus says that he is the teacher of Israel. I'm sure he expects that, I'm in God's kingdom automatically. One writer says this about Nicodemus. He says he presumed he was on God's side. After all, he was strict in his obedience, pious in his religion, and conservative in his theology. But what is he told in verse 3? He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Again, in verse 5, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And again in verse 7, you must be born again. Jesus is emphatic. This religious leader has no spiritual life. He needs to be born again. There is no other way. And it's no different for us. We need to be completely transformed, to be radically changed from the inside out, to come into a new realm of life. We need to be born again. And see why in verse 6. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we have two births here of two kinds of people. One is of the flesh, and then the other is of the Spirit. The flesh birth, that's a birth that we've all undergone, or we wouldn't be here. But that flesh birth can only follow on to death. It's incapable of entering God's kingdom because it can't produce spiritual life. But see what can in verse 6. It says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. A little later on, you don't need to turn to it, but you can. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. So it's only through the Spirit. That is God himself, that we can have this life that lasts forever. So we see the problem that we all face isn't Brexit. It's not that we need to fix the NHS or plastic in the oceans. But the biggest problem is of the flesh. I'm sure many of us, I know I have thought, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? We think we only do bad things because of our bad circumstances, things that happen around us. That if our environment where we are, if that changes, then our behaviour will as well. But the problem isn't that we do bad things. The everyday things. Slander in the office. Cheating to get ahead, neglecting our responsibilities and doing shoddy work, bending the truth or gratifying our desires at others' expense. No, our problem is what we do comes from what we are. And we are flesh. It's only when we see our desperate state that we're in that we understand the radical remedy that Jesus says that we need to be born again. It's like going to a doctor with a sore ankle, and after the tests, he comes back and says the whole leg needs to come off. The remedy shows the seriousness of the problem. It's serious. It is serious, because not to be in God's kingdom means you do not have eternal life. By now, I hope we should be seeing that we need to be born again so we can enter into God's kingdom. So there is only one type of Christian, the born again kind. It doesn't matter what our background is or how bad a life that we think we have lived. We all need a miracle. Neither can we say, oh, someone is so nice, it won't take much for them to become a Christian. And neither can we say that others are so bad that, well, God needs to do an overhaul job on them. No. Everyone needs this new life. Everyone needs to be born again. So secondly, God alone gives us new life. God alone gives us new life. By now, the question that we should all be asking and wanting the answer to is, well, how can we be born again? The answer we'll find is in John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. So please look with me in those verses. It's just across the page. John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. But to all who did receive him, that's Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So here we have a list of two ways that people try and fail to become children of God. First, it's not by bloodline. That is that the Jews, they could trace their kind of family tree all the way back to Abraham, the father of their faith. So if you're a Jew, you're the son of Abraham. This surely makes you a part of God's family. But what we've just read here in the Bible, it says no. No. We can think the same today, I think. I've met many people who said, I don't need to believe in Jesus. I'm okay with God because my dad or my granddad was a vicar or a minister. Maybe you've been here at Aldersgate Talks for, well, quite some time. Or maybe you've always been part of a church. And so you think, well, this makes me a Christian. But from what we've just read in chapter 1, verse 13, the answer is no. Well, let's carry on. Let's carry on in this verse. It says, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. This is referring to how a husband and wife choose to have children. We can think that maybe we can choose to become a child of God by being religious. Like Nicodemus, he thought he could be a child of God by being religious. But for all his study, his discipline, it couldn't make him a child of God. He didn't need more religion. He needed new birth. You see, religion is like giving an exercise bike and a fitness routine to a dead body to improve life. It's not going to work, is it? And like Nicodemus, he needed new birth. You see, the answer to be part of God's kingdom, well, it's not down to us. The only way that we can be part of God's kingdom, well, we see the answer in verse 13. It says this. Who were born, and what's those last three words of that verse? But of God. That is to be born of God. It takes a miracle. It takes a miracle that we are to be born of the Spirit, as we've just seen. And this happens at conversion. So every time someone becomes a Christian, a miracle has taken place. When it happens completely. Like you and me, where we are only born once, aren't we? And it's the same as the rebirth. It happens at a certain point in time. And from then on, you're spiritually alive. What happens, I have to say, at our new birth is a bit of a mystery. But somehow we are born, we are dead, and then we are brought back to life. It's an instantaneous event that might be gradually kind of understood over time. But for others, they can pinpoint the exact moment when that happened. We'll understand that we don't cause our new birth. God does. Now, we might find this unsettling to be absolutely dependent upon someone who's outside of ourselves. But again, it's happened to us at our own birth. It was our mum who did all the hard work. The baby doesn't play really an active part in it. The birth is something that happens to you at great expense of the mother. That is why when people come in and congratulate, well, they congratulate the mother rather than the baby, don't they, at being born. Well, God, well, he does the same. He does the same. He causes me to be born again. Because, you know what? I would be happy as I am, if not. But going to hell. See, he chose me. I didn't choose him. Because I wouldn't. If you flip over the page in John chapter 3, verse 19, it says this. So John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light, that is Jesus, has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. You see, we naturally don't see anything attractive about God. Actually, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. So, if you're a Christian here this afternoon, you're to give God the credit for all that he has done. In his kindness, he is the one who's done the hard work. He's put everything in place to make it possible for you to be brought into his kingdom. Maybe there's some of us here, though, who doubt whether we have been born again. I don't know. Do you ever doubt? Have you ever been born? Probably not, because that's why you are here. So it's the same. If we ask the question, have I been born again? Well, have you accepted what the Bible says? Do you accept that you are a rebel against God? But that you have repented, that is, that you have turned away from the wrongdoing that you've done, and that you trust Jesus, you trust that he has taken your sin on the cross by his death, and that you now follow him, that is Jesus, as your Lord. If the answer to that is yes, well then you have been born again. That again is down to the kindness of God, which we should be very thankful for. So how does this being born again come about? Well, thirdly, God alone creates new life through the Spirit and his word. God alone creates new life through the Spirit and his word. So how does God cause us to be born again so that we can enter into God's kingdom? Well, it's through God's Spirit, that he breathed life into us to resuscitate us who are spiritually dead. And like a divine shock, that gets our spiritual heart pumping again. That is what has happened. We've crossed from death to life. That is when he enters into our life. Then we can do what we were helpless to do before. That is to enter God's kingdom. To enter God's kingdom. We see that in verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. But what does the Spirit do? What does the Spirit do? Well, verse 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The Spirit creates in us new life, like there is life at any new birth. But what happens in this new birth is not an improvement of our old nature, but it's the creation of a completely new human nature. And with this comes a new heart. A new transformation takes place within us. And we see this in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 27. It's on your handout there, so if you can take a look. It says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I'll put within you. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. Understand that a stone heart is a dead heart. I mean, it can understand, it can kind of respond to passion and desires, to lots of things, but not to God or love for Jesus. That is what had to change for us to enter into God's kingdom. So in the new birth, what happens is that our old heart, heart of stone, is taken out. That was born of Christ. And inside it, we are put a heart of flesh, which means it's soft, living, a feeling heart that is towards God. And now we can see worth of Jesus. By putting this new heart in us, the Spirit himself now lives within us. He shapes our heart and our mind so that we become like him in his character. Now, when you are born again, three things happen. First, we are forgiven. When Jesus speaks of the water in John chapter 3, verse 5, it's a picture that we see in Ezekiel there in the printed out part. It's verse 25. It says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean." You see, when we are born again, we see that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. My guilt, well, it is washed away. My sin is washed away by the death of Jesus at the cross. Then secondly, we have new life. Again, in the Ezekiel passage, verse 26, "I will give you a new heart." Now, in the Bible, when it talks about our heart, it's not about our emotions as we think of it today, but it's our decision making, our thinking and our will. But the problem is that our heart is corrupted. It's corroded by sin. And so a completely new one is needed. And this is what brings this new life. And then thirdly, our new birth allows us to obey God's word. In verse 27 of the Ezekiel passage, "I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." So we see God didn't just dust us off, but raised us from the dead so we can delight in following his way. Now I can imagine a few of us might say, "Well, it's God's fault then that I'm not a Christian. He hasn't chosen me to be born again." But Jesus says, actually, we are responsible for how we respond when we are offered eternal life. And what I'd like us to do is see this in John chapter 5. So if you turn over your page to page 890, and it's John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. It says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." So, we are to hear the word of God and believe what it says about Jesus. Then, we have passed from death to life, freeing us from God's judgment, as Jesus was judged in our place instead of us, so that now we can enter into God's kingdom. So if you're a Christian here this afternoon, what can we do to help others be born again? Well, it's by telling others the good news of Jesus Christ. And I have to say, you might be surprised who will respond. So in John chapter 3, verse 8, if you flip back again, it says this in verse 8. "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So that means it's not my clever arguments. It's not down to me, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who does the hard work when the gospel is heard. This is freeing. This is indeed freeing. But then this should cause me to really pray to God. Really pray to God that he would give new life to our work colleagues, to our friends, to our family, to those that we care about. Also, knowing that being born again is not the end of the Christian life. It's only the beginning. So don't be discouraged when you sin, since you have your whole life ahead of you as you grow to become like Jesus. But we are to show our new life by loving God and hating and fighting our sin. Now, if you wouldn't call yourself here a Christian and you know that you haven't been born again, well, please, please listen to the words of Jesus and believe them. And then you will pass from death to life. Maybe it's that you have many questions. I'd encourage you to go on the Christianity Explored course. Speak to Phil or Claire afterwards. But I have to say, you needn't wait till then. You can receive new life today. Speak to myself, Phil or Claire, or the person that you came with. And you can go out of here this afternoon with new life as a child of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you have done all the work to bring us to new life. Father, we pray that we would seek this new life if we haven't already. And Father, help us to give thanks to you if we have. Lord, help us to be born again. Help us to live a life that honours you in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.